HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Sirens in Tel Aviv. Israel says it shot down a ballistic missile fired by Hezbollah today in retaliation for last week's electronics explosions in Lebanon. The BBC's Yoland Nell reports from Jerusalem.
This was, according to the Israeli military briefing, a heavy warhead that was used to target Tel Aviv. They had their air defense systems intercept this rocket. There were no casualties. There was no damage. But a lot of speculation that with this single rocket being fired, a longer range rocket, it could be really meant as a message by Hezbollah that it still has, despite Israel's efforts, a lot of these longer range precision missiles within its arsenal.
His campaign says former President Donald Trump has been briefed by U.S. intelligence officials on an alleged Iranian plot to assassinate him to sow chaos here. Tropical storm Helene gaining strength as it moves over the warm waters of the Caribbean on a path toward Florida's Gulf Coast.
People are preparing. That's good. Should take it serious.
That woman lives in Edgewater. She's bracing for what could be a Category 3 hurricane by the time it makes landfall late tomorrow. Meteorologist David Parkinson.
The real bad winds are Thursday afternoon, evening into Friday morning. The real bad rain likely follows that timeline as well, but the storm surge will begin earlier.
A man on Missouri's death row has been executed for a 1998 murder after the U.S. Supreme Court rejected his last-minute appeal. Correction spokeswoman Karen Podgman.
The order was given to proceed with the lawful execution. At 6:01 p.m., the lethal injection of pentobarbital was administered. At 6:03 p.m., the five-minute timer was set. At 6:10 p.m., Marcellus Williams was pronounced dead.
He was convicted of breaking into Leisha Gale's home and stabbing her 43 times. Prosecutors and her family wanted his sentence commuted to life in prison. A dangerous chemical leak from a train has forced evacuations and closed schools outside Cincinnati. Charles Davis lives in Cleves.
Luckily, it was blowing the other way. But as I got ready to leave Hooven, I went down there to the other end to leave, and I could smell it, and it burnt my eyes, and I said, I'm out of here.
Chemical styrene used to make plastic and rubber. A game-ending rarity helps the Padres clinch a spot in the National League playoffs.
Ball grounded right to Machado. Steps in the back for one, to second, on to first. A triple play!
The action on TNT, while Jake Cronenworth hit a two-run homer to turn last night's game around for a 4-2 victory over the Dodgers. S&P futures down 9. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin State Law Library will have a new name. The state's high court and the director of state courts announced it'll be dedicated to Lavinia Goodell. She was Wisconsin's first woman to become a lawyer. In 1874, she overcame barriers to practice law and worked to open the doors to other women. Currently, the library is named after former conservative justice David Prosser. That was a controversial move in 2016, in part because Prosser put his hands on the neck of a fellow female justice and claimed self-defense. He was recommended to be found guilty of ethics violations, but justices recused themselves, so the charges went nowhere. Brett Favre revealed Tuesday that he has been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. The revelation came while Favre was testifying in front of Congress over a controversy that started in 2020, where he was accused of misusing funds intended to help low-income families. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
A potential playoff preview looms this week. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sports, filling in for Mike Lemons. The Milwaukee Brewers are all but locked into the third seed in next month's MLB playoffs. The NL Central champions beat Pittsburgh yesterday 7-2. The Brewers will play the Pirates again this evening. This weekend, Milwaukee takes on the New York Mets in what could be a playoff matchup. Green Bay has won two in a row with backup quarterback Malik Willis at the helm. Willis said he has to be prepared if his number is called.
And I've had a lot of time to just, you know, work hard and just grind every day in order to make use of my next opportunity, which I've been just trying to do this last 2 weeks. And I think more than anything, you just try to continue to work hard and understand that you don't know when the opportunity will come, but you have to be ready for it if you get it.
Starting quarterback Jordan Love, who practiced all of last week, has missed two games with an MCL sprain, but could return this week. Kickoff against the Minnesota Vikings is at noon on Sunday. The Milwaukee Bucks are making a, quote, major ownership announcement Thursday morning. Bucks co-owner Jimmy Haslam will be speaking. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to feel a lot more like summer than fall here for the next several days. Today, sunny with a high in the mid to upper 70s this afternoon. Tonight, clear. We may get a little fog toward morning. Our low, upper 40s to low 50s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s to low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, Matt Rothschild in studio. President Biden addresses the UN General Assembly and Nebraska playing games with the Electoral College. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who likes to talk trash, but only when he's at the dump, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. We are ready to go. Hour number two. Did a lot of stretching during the news, some warm-ups, calisthenics, some toe touches and deep knee bends, and we are ready to roll here for hour number two on this Tuesday night edition of Nightlight. Wherever you're joining us from in the state, it is great to have you. Got people on the stream, people on the radio, people using the app. It's just a fun night for Nightlight, and it's great to have you. So keep those texts coming. Our question tonight, in honor of Jim Henson's birthday, Jim passed away in 1990. And it was really fun. Like if you're ever in LA, there's a lot of big studios you can tour: Warner Brothers, Sony Pictures, Paramount, Universal. But there's all these little boutique studios, like Jim Henson Studios. He had his own little lot, and they have a charm. I was lucky enough to be there twice for jobs, and. You know, I love the fact that he passed away in 1990, long before I ever moved to LA, and I got to be there, and they preserve them, and they keep them there, and they're like little museums. So much fun, and his contribution to entertainment was so fantastic, and especially to kid shows through the Muppets and, like I mentioned before, Sesame Street. But in honor of Jim, our question tonight is, what is your favorite kid show? Or what is the best TV kid show? You can answer either way. It's just great to hear from you. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know. We've gotten some great texts so far, and we will continue to read those on the air as they roll in. We may or may not get Matt back. He was having a cell phone battery issue, as we all often have, so we'll see. I did have a few more questions for Matt. I wanted to ask him if he had seen the film Just a Bit Outside, the documentary about the Brewers. Conrad, have you seen that yet?
I have not. I really want to, though.
Yeah, me too. It's gotten really good reviews since we've had Sean, the filmmaker, on the show. He and I have since become Facebook friends, so I've been following kind of his journey. The film is doing really well. I mean, it's a limited release, but it's making money, and it's getting killer reviews, so I can't wait to see it either. But I wanted to ask Matt if he saw that, because I know he's a big Brewer fan, and about Oscar buzz, too. So we'll get to that. And then I wanted to, Cindy from Appleton checked in. The 920 in the hizzy. Cindy says, Mr. Ed, wish my horses talked. Cindy, you have horses? That's so cool. Do you ride horses, Conrad?
Funny story, actually. When I was younger, I went to Tennessee with my mom, my dad, my cousin. And they planned a trip to do... horseback riding. And I got on that thing and I was so scared that I didn't do it. And my mom took me to a shopping center instead. Well, my dad and my cousin still went on the horseback riding.
So you went to the mall and rode the carousel.
I was so scared. I could do it now, but I think I was like, I don't know, I forgot how old I was, like 11 or something around there. So I was just scared that I was going to like fly off or something.
You know, it's fun. When I was a kid, I would hear a story like Christopher Reeve got thrown from a horse and he broke his neck. And that was kind of the end of his acting career. Actually, he did act after that, but his life was changed, obviously. You hear about, you know, I remember Stevie Ray Vaughan dying in a helicopter crash. And it made me never want to do those things. It's like the odds of that happening are one in a gazillion, but still it affects you when you're a kid. And yeah. You're like, I don't think I have any desire to do that. I know the odds are slim, but why would I tempt fate? Steady Eddie checks in. You missed it last night. Steady Eddie, I was giving him a hard time for giving himself a nickname, calling himself Steady Eddie. Yeah. So his next text into the show is Steadfast Edward. Tonight he writes, Pete, going old school with Captain Kangaroo. Would not surprise me if Jim Henson was influenced by the characters Mr. Moose and Bunny Rabbit, along with Grandfather Clock. That predates me. I don't remember those characters, I have to be honest, Eddie. But he says, Conrad, cue the ping pong balls to drop onto Pete's head. See, I don't even get that. That must be from the show. But yeah. Unless Steady Eddie just, he's upset with me.
Well, you don't want Steady Eddie to be mad at you.
I don't want anybody named Steady anything, much less Eddie, being upset with me. Or Steadfast Edward. Sherry from Horicon checks out. She says, hi, Pete and Conrad. Bridget from the 818 says, I used to love The Electric Company. Yeah, we talked about that a little earlier, Bridget. I'm with you. Great, great show. Launched Morgan Freeman's career. He went on to do bigger and better things, but got his start right there on The Electric Company. Llama from Madison in the 608 says, Fraggle Rock. I remember that show. Wow, that's a blast from the past. I haven't thought of that show in so long. Thank you for the text, Llama. That's great. Bridget says, same creators as Sesame Street. I did not know that either. I mean, I know they aired on PBS, but I didn't know they were the same creators. Sherry says, long ago, my kids were small, but they loved The Big Comfy Couch. I don't remember that show either. The Big Comfy Couch. Conrad, we need to go to the Google.
I was doing it as you
were
said.
Were you really? Look at that. Kids a mind reader. Bridget says, teaching grammar to kids ages 6 to 10. Yes. And The Electric Company made it fun. It was very musical, and they had great graphics for a show in the 70s, but it was informative and entertainment. Sherry says, I loved Mr. Ed, too. Bridget continues saying 1971 to 1977. Wow. Doing her homework. Thank you, Bridget. That's great to hear from the 818. Sherry says, The Bozo Show. Our second vote tonight for The Bozo Show. And yeah, that was, Bozo was fantastic. That's the last time I think I wasn't freaked out by clowns. Because Bozo was just kind of fun. And you had Mr. Ned and Cookie. Although Mr. Ned one time supposedly thought he was off the air. And they gave kids from the studio audience treats. And his mic was on, and he said something like, that ought to keep those little brats for a while. He's on a kid's show, and he hates kids. That's one of the funniest things I've ever heard. Jameson from Pennsylvania checks in from the 814 in the Hizzy and says, I just got to tune in. If it hasn't been said yet, Dinosaurs, Jim Henson Studios. Yes, totally remember that. It has some very adult jokes that the kids won't understand, and thank God for that, Jameson. He says, for you off the air. All right, I can't read that part on the... Thank you, Jameson. I will check that out. I'm going to have Conrad censor it first. Breaking the fourth wall.
I'll do the censoring myself.
All right. All right. Beep, let me know what beep. We can... Hey, we haven't done that in a while, the self-censor. All right. Excellent text. Keep them coming, and we'll keep reading them. What's your favorite kids show? Lots of fun. You missed last night. We have to do something in October because obviously Halloween is coming up.
Yep.
We'll have to figure out something we can do weekly for Halloween because Todd was here last night. But Nikki, our new member here at WGBW in Green Bay, was so much fun to talk to. The three of us had such a good time talking. We didn't get to as much paranormal stuff as I would have liked to. Because Todd is so knowledgeable about that. So we'll have to have Todd back on. Maybe we could have him on almost once a week leading up to Halloween. Because he's just a wealth of information about that stuff. So, okay, Big Bang launched this week. Are you?
Oh, yeah.
You like that? Because that's young Sheldon.
I love the Big Bang Theory. I've watched it three times through.
The whole show?
Yeah.
Wow.
I watched it kind of like, my parents actually watched it when it was on TV.
Okay.
And then wait for new episodes. And I was there with them sometimes watching it. But my friend and I, when we lived together in college, we were like, all right, we got to find something new. So we picked The Big Bang Theory.
Wow. What do you take that over Young Sheldon?
Oh, yeah. The comedy in that show is undefeated. It's so funny. Because you get so many different characters in that have such a different like value of comedy in it, you know?
Huh.
I love Young Sheldon, though, too.
I've never seen an episode of The Big Bang Theory all the way through. Never,
really?
No, I've seen clips. And we've had Rob Cohen on the show, who used to write for The Big Bang Theory and did like a couple seasons and then just left to do other stuff. That's such an anomaly because those jobs are like so lucrative and great to have. But, you know, Rob's got options because he's a talented guy. So that's really cool. But I've never, you know, usually when my friend is part of a show, I'll try to watch it and get a sense of it. I just never got around to watching that for some reason. But everybody says it's great. So.
It is.
All right. The other thing we talked, what I want to talk about too, let's do Ted Lasso. I saw this. This popped up on my feed, a reel. And I thought it was topical because it came up on my phone 2 days ago. But it's Jason Sudeikis doing the Ted Lasso dance at an Iowa basketball game where he was watching Caitlin Clark 9 months ago.
Oh.
But it's new to me.
Yes.
Have you seen that?
I think, yeah, I have seen that, yeah.
Like, how fun to be at a sporting event where everybody knows who you are. That would suck most of the time. But for this moment, for him to be on the Jumbotron and get up and do the Ted Lasso dance must have been one of the coolest things he's ever done. And the crowd loved it. So maybe in the next segment we could play some Ted Lasso because that was the anniversary of that show. But have you seen The Penguin?
So I wanted to get to that yesterday.
You haven't seen it yet?
I did. I did like a whole like kind of like movement of a bunch of stuff in my apartment.
Okay.
So I didn't get to it because it took me all day to do a lot of stuff.
Okay.
Tonight after the show, I'm going to watch the first episode because I am very invested in it because I heard that after The Penguin is done, that will lead right into the next Batman.
Yes. And this picks up supposedly after The Batman in 2022, the Matt Reeves film.
Yeah.
This picks up a week later, right after Carmine Falcone died. So I'm not as up on all of the Batman. I get my Batmans mixed up now because there's been two separate franchises and they're both great. So it's like, what happened when? But this picks up, he plays a character named Oz who has not become the Penguin yet, but he's deformed. And there's a scene where he takes his shoe off and it is the most disgusting thing. His foot is mangled like he was in an accident. And it's Colin Farrell playing him. And you don't even, you'd never know it was him.
No, I looked it up. I was like, oh, I got to see who's in this. I just see the picture of the Penguin. I'm like, who is that? How much makeup do they put on this guy? And then I see it's Colin Farrell. I'm like, okay, that makeup must take like 3 hours.
Hours. And he had, there's a scene where he's naked. I don't think they show everything, but he has hair all over. He's just.
The Danny DeVito one. What do you think?
Yeah, kind of. I don't even think he's at DeVito level. He did some sit-ups maybe, but his character's grotesque. But we have some fun Ted Lasso clips coming up next. We're probably not going to get Matt back, so we'll have to have him back another time. But you got to tell me about the Uglies, too.
Yes, I will.
You have a tendency to find the craziest shows.
It's actually a
movie.
Always
fun to talk about. Oh, okay.
And what Matt said, Netflix has a tendency to not drop great films. I totally agree after watching that.
All right, well, we got to get the lowdown on that. And we'll do some Ted Lasso, too. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. I wonder what I would find if I met you. Let my eyes caress you until I meet the thought of Mrs. Princess, who
wants to wonder what makes her work. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. National and state Republicans will ask the federal Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals to strike down a Mississippi law which counts mail-in ballots up to 5 days after Election Day. The decision could have national consequences. Oral arguments will be heard in the notoriously conservative Fifth Circuit before three Trump-appointed judges on September 24th, but many legal observers see the case as likely to be appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court no matter what the outcome. Mississippi law allows for a mail-in ballot to be counted up to 5 days after Election Day, provided it's postmarked on or before Election Day. 16 other states allow extra time, ranging from Texas with 1 day to Washington, which does not have a limit. The GOP argues that for federal elections, federal law is paramount, and Congress directed that federal elections be conducted on a uniform national election day that would not include extra days for mail-in ballots. A ban on extra days could disenfranchise millions of voters, especially if the courts ignore the Supreme Court's own Purcell principle, discouraging voting rights cases too close to an election. Combined with persistent reports of U.S. Postal Service delivery delays in rural areas, democracy advocates suggest voters allow extra delivery time no matter what the court decides. We have the RNC's complaint and analysis of the case linked at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
It's time to go for the green or gold with Civic Media's new Text to Win contest. When you go for the green or gold, you could win $100 cash, gold jewelry, and be entered to win our grand prize, 2 indoor club-level seats to see the green and gold in Green Bay. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store and get ready to text in for your chance to win in this statewide contest. Get ready to go for the greener gold with your local Civic Media radio station. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. You know, we might have to talk gelato. It's a little chilly out. I think it might be time. We accidentally premiered it Friday night. I don't think Amanda knew what it was and she just played it, but you and I had been working very hard on our gelato tribute to fall. Now, the reasoning behind this, folks, is because all summer long we get this great new place next door. What's called the Creamery or something, right? The downtown Creamery? Creamery with coffee?
All I know is the Creamery. Gelato place, but I feel bad that I don't know the actual name right
Silver
now.
Silver Creamery happens here, I think it's called. That happened in Crematorium. Something. There's cream over there, and they have gelato, and it's a lovely place. But all summer, we've been watching people on these gorgeous summer nights go in, empty their pockets, and come out with pounds of gelato. I myself, Pete Schwabe, host of Nightlight, have gone in there. I've gotten here to do work before the show, done some work, gone and gotten a gelato, come back, finished said gelato, then gone back for more gelato. Like, that's how good it is. It's delicious. Yeah. So I've had probably 3 nights out of the last 3 months where I've double gelatoed it. And it's very good, but it has a scent, it has a feel of summer. It's like summer's in the air, gelato's next door, all is right. People are walking by in their summer clothes and laughing and having these moments, and then they walk out and they're putting gelato in their mouths, and it's a beautiful situation. But now it's chilly outside. The crowds have died down. I think I just saw a leaf blow across the sidewalk earlier. The setting to this movie is getting sadder, but gelato is still open. It's not open till 10 anymore. It closes a little earlier because it's what, Conrad?
Fall.
Fall. So here is a little thing we put together in honor of fall gelato. Fall gelato. Gelato. I'm not crying right now, but I'm doing that thing where I'm trying not to cry.
I'm tearing up.
I'm holding it back. I could get choked up if I let myself. Well, let's hear it one more time, just so people really understand what we're going for here. Fall gelato. Gelato.
sounds like it's just a silly thing we're doing here, but that was actually Conrad playing the harpsichord.
If I could do that like that, I don't think
you would be here. You'd be touring with the Grand Symphony. I don't even know. It's just a violin, I guess, but it's very sad. And yeah. It's fall gelato, ladies and gentlemen. That's all it's fall can be fun because there's scary movies, there's high school football, there's musical theater happening in high schools across the state. But here on Washington in Green Bay, it's fall gelato. And that's, we'll have to revisit that occasionally. That's a homegrown production. We don't do many musical numbers here at Nightlight, but when we do,
they're great.
We roll it out. Yeah. Carl from Green Bay says, kid show, Slim Goodbody. Weird and magical stuff. What is that? I don't know that show. Do you know that show?
No. You know, I did send you a picture of the big comfy couch. What'd you think of that?
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
In the chat?
Yep.
All right, let me check it out.
It is kind of scary to me. I'm not going to lie.
Wait, I don't have it. I have the big comfy. Oh, yeah. Dear, that is a little creepy.
The doll.
The doll is very scary. Post that on the screen. Let people see that. That's just awful.
Yeah, it is. I don't think I would actually be like, kids, you can watch
this
show.
Kids, gather around.
The big comfy couch.
From the 920. Wait a minute. Who is it? 920 says, I'm also crying, Pete. # fall gelato. Let's make this go viral. Conrad and I put 7 minutes of work into this. I don't want it to just fall by the wayside. Oscar season is coming up. There it is. That's the big comfy couch, and that's the big creepy doll. Wow. This nice looking woman, and then this is horrible. Like, is that supposed to be like a mini-me of her? Probably. Yikes.
I don't think I'd watch that after seeing that.
So we have to make fall gelato go viral. Do what you can, folks. I'm not expecting too much. I don't expect to make money off of it, but if you could share it on your social media. that could be our promo. Let's clip that. Yeah. Let's see what we can do. Let's get that making the rounds here at social media, at Civic Media. So, all right, we're not going to have time for we'll save Ted Lasso for after Deanna. Deanna Donaldson is coming up. She's a lot of fun to talk to. I talked to her on the phone the other day, and she is the, I almost said musical director because of Fall Gelato. She is the general director or manager of the Warren's Wisconsin Cranberry Festival. This is a 3-day event, folks. It is a huge thing. Warren's calls themselves the capital of the cranberry capital of Wisconsin. So we'll ask Deanna about that. It is coming up at 7:35. Tell me about Uglies. You said it's a bad movie on Netflix. Man, why is it so bad?
So I watched it. You know, it drags out the like whole start of the movie. It felt like it took 45 minutes to get to the actual like action of it.
Yeah.
It took so long to get to it. That's why I felt like I got bored. I got bored during it. And that got me to like just be like, oh, my phone's next to me. Might as well go on like Facebook or Instagram or something.
That's always good.
But when it got into it, kind of, it was a little interesting. I just don't think the story was there really. It was a weird, weird story about this world that needs to have everyone perfect. And I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Okay. Thumbs down then.
How it even gets it. They have to have the surgery when they turn 16. To get like perfect cheekbones and
that's what that show is. It's okay.
And like the school, they were in school before it. It's like the school is just them learning about the surgery. And I was like, okay, so you're gonna go 16 years of school just to learn about that?
Oh my gosh,
I didn't like it. Rotten Tomatoes definitely did not like it. I think it got like a 12 or something.
You know, the whole time you were talking, all I was thinking was, I could use a little liposuction. all right, we're coming right back with Deanna Donaldson from the Warren's Wisconsin Cranberry Festival, a 3-day extravaganza. This is Pete Schwabba in Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
CBS News Brief, a harsh wake-up call in Israel's second largest city. Sirens warning of an incoming missile. The BBC's Hugo Bachega.
We had a statement from Hezbollah earlier this morning saying that he had targeted the Mossad headquarters in the suburbs of Tel Aviv.
The group says it's retaliation for last week's electronics explosions. Tropical storm Helene is still on track to become a possible Category 3 hurricane before it hits Florida's Gulf Coast. CBS meteorologist David Parkinson.
The impacts of this storm will start to be felt a little bit on Wednesday, but really Thursday is your big day for impacts.
Evacuations outside Cincinnati over a dangerous chemical leak from a train. Little Miami Fire Chief Mike Siefke.
There is concern with the heat up of the material in the car that there is a potential for an explosion.
Schools closed, evacuations ordered. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's public parks got a D grade for their infrastructure. The American Society of Civil Engineers puts out these reports every year. It notes that Wisconsin's state and local parks need updating, and paying for those would be tough. State parks here have some of the lowest funding in the country. Get this, people in Oshkosh are smelling something funny, and nobody quite knows what it is. Here's Lisa Hale.
Something smells fishy in Oshkosh. Well, maybe not fishy, but definitely unpleasant, unwanted, and sour. Residents on the south side of the city around Oregon and Michigan streets near 7th, 8th, and 9th Avenues are noticing a foul, sour smell permeating buildings. The director of Public Works, James Rabe, says they haven't been able to nail down the source. He's encouraging people who smell the odor to contact Public Works as they try to track it down.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Good news for moviegoers. Just when it looked like people were done leaving the house to see movies, the box office turned itself around this summer and even into the fall. On the heels of an actors and writers strike and a worldwide pandemic, people finally seem to be going back to theaters, which most cinema prognosticators did not see coming. How happy are theater owners? Deadline reports that a group of U.S. and Canadian exhibitors that control almost 70% or over 21,000 movie theater screens in North America have committed $2.2 billion to upgrade their facilities. The National Association of Theater Owners say the funds will be used to upgrade to the latest laser projection technology, sound systems, better seating, food and beverage option upgrades, and family enhancement experiences like arcades and even bowling. In addition to the bells and whistles, cosmetic upgrades in the way of carpeting, better lighting and signage, and air conditioning will also happen. Let's hope the theater experience keeps getting better and never goes away. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to feel a lot more like summer than fall here for the next several days. Today, sunny with a high in the mid to upper 70s this afternoon. Tonight, clear. We make it a little fog toward morning. Our low upper 40s to low 50s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s to low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Kamala Harris was so classy. What did you think of the debate? My friend and Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
As a woman of color, she ran a clinic on how to school a mediocre white man. And on the other end, you have Trump, who was angry and rattled and showed why he was unfit to be president.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I noticed when you buy toilets, they all have like these snazzy names. The ambassador. Toilets do not do any kind of ambassadorship. This is for people who take huge dumps, this model.
The Ultimax.
The Ultimax. Why would you name a toilet that? Just a serial number is fine.
Every single toilet should be called the King's Throne. That's it.
Works. It's a lot easier.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I'll be discussing a piece of transformative legislation newly introduced that is going to save the middle class. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, brother.
brother, brother. Do you know, last night, we were doing the show. You weren't here. You were still on vacation. And I came in late. Like, I wanted to check my phone at like 7:32, thinking I had like 3 or 4 minutes. And I kind of just stroll back in casually, and Todd and Nikki are here like, oh, nice of you to join us. It's like 20 seconds. I think the music was still playing, but they were like, I've never done that. And I told Todd that. I go, I don't know what the heck happened there. Like, I just, and they made fun of me because they said I was texting Sofia Coppola, because I've kept that going. I'll give you an update on that tomorrow.
But, yeah, I'll need an update.
Yeah, it's things are moving forward. We've got a great show tomorrow night, ladies and gentlemen. Charo will be here, the legendary performer from every variety show you've seen in the 70s and 80s, The Love Boat. The lovely Charo will be here. She's performing in Wisconsin. We'll talk about that. Jesse March from the Festival Theater in St. Croix, Wisconsin will be here. And King of Queens executive producer and writer Rock Rubin will be here to discuss the show's legacy as it dropped this week. So many years ago, I want to say it was 1998.
Love possibly. That show.
Yeah, great show. But right now, I'm very excited to welcome from the other side of the state. As I mentioned, Nightlight is on statewide, and I love reaching out to all parts of the state because our reach is huge. Even though we broadcast here from downtown Green Bay, we are on statewide, and that is why it's fun to have people from various areas. Warrens, Wisconsin, that's where we're going tonight via the telephone. And joining us from Warrens, Wisconsin is Deanna Donaldson. She is the president of the Cranberry Festival there. It's their 51st year, and she joins us now on Nightlight. Hi, Deanna.
Hi.
Great to meet you.
Yeah, it's nice to hear radio again.
But you seem a little lukewarm, like you're not sure if you want to be here. Is that a problem?
Yeah. No, I'm great. Okay. I'm in the middle of an allergy attack, so
dear.
If I sound a little strange, it's just, that's how it is.
So what did you mean it's great to hear radio again? Do you not own a radio? Do you not listen to the radio?
No. I listen to it very seldom, but my husband was a DJ.
Oh, get out of here.
For years in Florida, and we actually got engaged on air, so
Oh my gosh.
To hear live radio again.
Well, it's great to have you on live radio, and congratulations on your marriage. And how long ago was that? Have you guys been together a while now?
34 years.
That's a pretty good run.
Yeah.
Most
not
of
bad
them?
For people who got engaged on their first date.
Is that so true?
Honest.
You got engaged on your first date.
Yep, we were unofficially engaged for about a month and a half after our first date, and then we got officially engaged about a month and a half later on the air.
So I don't mean to make light of that. That either means you were both desperate, or it was absolute love at first sight. That's pretty cool.
Yep, absolute love at first sight.
Well, congratulations. That's. I hope most of those years were happy. If not all.
Oh, yes.
That's outstanding.
Wonderful.
Is he supportive of your efforts on behalf of the Cranberry Festival?
Yes. Yes.
All right.
My whole family is out here all the time doing courtesy driving and golf carts and signs. And
wow.
It's a family thing.
So I have to, all right, so since we spoke on the phone a couple days ago, I couldn't believe, you know, I have a lot of people, like I mentioned in your intro, I do reach out to a lot of people around the state and talk to them about their festivals, and oftentimes they're like from 3 to 6 on Saturday, and it looks lovely and fine. This is like a full-blown extravaganza. I mean, this is a 3-day thing starting on Friday in the morning, correct?
Yes, it does. It starts on Friday in the morning, and we take over the whole town. So if you took all of our booths and laid them end-to-end, it would be about 3 miles.
Wow. So tell me, how did this start? And has it always been this big, or has it grown to be like this?
No. Back in 1973, they'd been left with some extra funds after the centennial of Warrens.
Okay.
And they thought, let's do something, just a nice little festival to promote the area. And we grow cranberries around here, so it was the first cranberry festival. And everybody brought out hay wagons and their little card tables, and they sold stuff on the side. And we ended up having thousands of people here. And
jeez.
It just grew from there, and it's grown and grown, and now we're 3 full days, Friday till Sunday.
That is nuts. So 3 days out of the year, but how much work is that for you throughout the course of the year? Is it a full-time job? Is it a part-time job?
We have 2 full-time staff.
Jeez.
And so they work all year round, but it's kind of a, we're already planning the 52nd, you know,
wow.
So it's, you do these certain things at certain times and it goes, and we have an amazing staff, an amazing board of directors, and we all meet once a month and email back and forth, you know, in between times, but we all work together and get it put on.
Do you ever think, you know what, enough with the cranberry, let's do star fruit this year?
No.
Okay, no. I didn't think so, but I'm just checking.
And I'm one of those people that can walk out in a bed and just eat them raw. There's not a lot of people
Like Deanna, I don't believe
raw.
You. Seriously?
Seriously. Yeah, let me just munch on them. That's fine. Potato chips anytime.
See, that's a very rare, because it's a very popular fruit. And I know Wisconsin supplies more cranberries to the rest of the world, I think, than any other state.
Yeah.
But
50% of your cranberries grow, or 50% of the cranberries for the world are produced in Wisconsin.
That's insane. Wow. So, and you eat them raw. I don't meet many people that do that. That's impressive.
No, they're pretty, they're not sweet.
No.
I like them, so.
Well, hey, there's no rule against eating any fruit for that matter. We toured a place up in Eagle River, and the guy that was leading the tour of the marsh just picked them out of the water and ate them and gave us all one. And I'm like, this is so great. Like, you just felt like you were so much a part of nature. We didn't wash them. Mm-hmm. They just come right out of the water. So you figure they're pretty clean. Mm-hmm. And it's just a great experience. So tell us about, what can people, if they go to the Warren's Cranberry Festival, the 51st, of which you're the president, what can they expect? What's there aside from cranberries?
Well, a lot of smiles. Everybody is happy when they come to Cranfest. And, you know, we have over the 3 days, we'll have about 145,000 to 150,000 people, we estimate.
Oh, my gosh.
We have a free gate. You know, we don't charge anything. So you just come and you enjoy a fall festival. And we have, probably about 1,200 booths this year. There's 800 art and craft and buy, sell, and then there's more flea. There's 100 farm market booths and 100 commercial food, give or take.
Jeez.
So, you know, basically if you're looking for it, most of the time you can find it at Cranfest.
That is incredible. And how big is the town?
When everybody's home, 550 people. But on the grounds itself, where we hold the festival, it's about 350.
That is really impressive. So, so let's say I take my family to your festival. I know you've got, it looks like music and food. And what kind of food can people expect? Is it all cranberry based or are there other options?
No.
Okay.
We have other options, but I mean, people love cranberry cream puffs. That's one of the things that they can get
that
here.
Does sound
cranberry
good.
Shakes, cranberry meatballs. And then we have like a guy that does shrimp shack, and then there's pizza and, you know, a lot of the commercial foods, but everybody always tries to do something new for Cranfest. And we try to get as many people in with new foods because, you know, fair foods is one of the things that people love about festivals is they love to go out and eat something probably that they won't eat the rest of the year because it just tastes better when you're at a fair or a festival. And this year we've got camel rides and a petting zoo. And on Sunday they can come and sit and watch a parade.
That sounds like a lot of fun. You know what I just thought of while we were talking? Cranberry cheese curds. Don't you think that would be a nice flavor for cheese?
I think we have cranberry cheese here.
Okay.
There's a lot of cranberry cheese and a lot of cranberry sausage. Cranberry mustard. What else do I have? Sweetened dried cranberries of every flavor. We even have jalapeno here.
Oh, very nice. Okay. So I saw something on your schedule. By the way, if you want more information, it's cranfest.com. They have all the information right there. It's a 3-day festival starting this Friday. Deanna Donaldson is with us here to tell us about it and help promote it. What is Cranberry Jubilee?
Cranberry Jubilee is a warm cranberry compote that we cook in a 6-foot fry pan outside, and they take it and put it over vanilla ice cream.
Oh, my God. Is that an event? It looks like it's part of your schedule.
Yeah. Well, we run it at certain times because it is the Warren's Cranberry Festival does do that. That's one of our things that we do. And yeah, people stand in line and they are ready for their cranberries that have been cooked in a great big frying pan in front of them, and they want to eat that warm cranberry sauce over vanilla ice cream. It's one of the best sundaes you'll ever have in your life.
It sounds delicious. I mean, this is the kind of thing in such a small town to have 150,000 people visiting for this festival and to have it be a full-time job for two people. What does this do for your community? Has it sort of defined the town and brought it? Is it part of your, what makes it a nice place to live? I mean, it seems like this is your identity, which is kind of cool.
It brings together community.
Yeah.
That's one thing. You know, we couldn't do it without the village, and it helps the village. We have I think the last economic information we got is like $14.7 million for the 3-day weekend for our local area and the state of Wisconsin.
That is pretty amazing.
And that was based on very low figures because, you know, you can only, you have to figure it on what you can be sure of. So I would imagine it's even more than that. You fill up all the local hotels. You know, it's good for everybody. It's good for the communities. It's good for the surrounding towns.
Do you have any, I associate cranberries with fall and Wisconsin. It's just a great, it kind of warms your soul a little bit to think about fall and Wisconsin and cranberries. What do you, like, have any of the colors shown up yet on that side of the state? Like, what are you guys looking at in terms of fall so far?
There's not a whole lot of color around, but the cranberries are all floating. There's a lot of people that have started harvest. So you have the cranberry bogs and the beds that have water in them, and then all the red berries floating, which is a really cool picture.
That is.
You know, if you're driving by and seeing all the red cranberries floating. We don't have a lot. There's some of the maple trees are turning a little bit red. Some of the stuff in the wetter areas, but otherwise there's not a lot of fall color yet.
We just got a text from Llama in Madison who says, I feel like eating a raw cranberry is the new hot chip challenge.
It probably is. It's not for everybody, you know.
Yeah. But what is your favorite cranberry product? Like when you're not wolfing down cranberries by the fistful, plain, as you do, Deanna, what do you like them in the most? Like a muffin or?
Probably a scone.
Oh, yeah.
Or
that's great.
A sweetened dried cranberry cookie with white chocolate and macadamia nuts is really, really good.
Okay.
And then my favorite sandwich is a grilled chicken sandwich with cranberry sauce over it and provolone cheese melted and bacon.
Oh, my. Do you serve that?
No, I just make that at home.
That sounds delicious. You know what I think you should serve at Cranberry Fest?
What?
All right, here's our suggestion. Go ahead, Conrad.
Okay.
Fall gelato. Fall gelato. Deanna, you're a trooper.
Yeah, no, we have cranberry ice cream here. Probably,
of course,
10
you do.
Different flavors.
That's so cool. I also noticed on your schedule you have like religious services. Is this a religious event?
Yes. No, but you know the local churches are all involved.
Oh,
so,
sure.
You know the one church does pancake breakfast every morning, and this is their 50th anniversary.
If I come to Cranberry Festival, do I have to genuflect?
No.
Okay.
No.
You know what, though?
You have to smile.
I could do
you
that.
You have to smile.
Cranberry communion wafers might not be a bad... Seriously.
I'll mention that, too.
It might be a tough sell. Hey, Deanna, you're great. Thank you so much for your time tonight, and best of luck this weekend. It sounds like a great time, and don't be a stranger, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Have fun. Thanks so much. That's Deanna Donaldson. She eats plain cranberries, and so does Llama from Madison. We'll be back to wrap things up here on Nightlight with Peach Wabba coming up next on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I want to talk about talking about money and why we got to do it, even though it's something we really don't want to do. In our culture, we're almost conditioned, like trained, not to discuss it. You know, it's impolite, it can make people uncomfortable, it could cause conflict. Well, I'm here to say that not talking about money makes it harder to solve money problems, harder to ask for a raise, harder to figure out and talk about what we want in life. Look, if you want to make more money and you want to get better at your money, you got to talk about your money. So let me start with a suggestion that I saw once on a shoebox. Just do it. Find a trustworthy friend or a family member and just talk to them about what's nagging you about your money. Now, you might not solve everything, but I bet you'll make some headway, and I promise it gets easier and better every time. For more money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Take good care.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name, Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear? The answer is coming up. The original badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matinee on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Fall gelato. Fall gelato. You just sent me this Margot Robbie and Jacob Elordi to star in the new Wuthering Heights.
Yes.
From the Saltburn director.
Do you think there will be a tub scene in that one?
I really hope not. not. Well, I don't care if people bathe. I don't need to see what happens afterwards, though. Margot Robbie has got the world on a string right now. So does Jacob Elordi. They're both like on a big time role. What did you posted something here too? You sent me something about Vince McMahon, who I find a very fascinating, odd character. Upcoming deceptive Netflix documentary. What's that?
So I think it actually released today, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
But there's a new documentary about Vince McMahon and like when it was, you know, really popular wrestling through all the ECW and Raw and all that, and him just being, I don't know, he is. There's a lot of different things he did on live TV that were seen as really bad. But back then it was like, yeah, whatever.
Okay.
If he did it today, it'd be the worst thing for him. But they're going like, because not a lot of people know him behind the scenes of WWE.
Yeah.
So that's a documentary now that they made on Netflix. And I'm interested in actually watching it.
We should have Lucasio back on to talk about it.
Yeah.
So is it like an expose? Like, are they revealing all this stuff things that happen, or is it not that controversial?
You know, I'm going to watch it and I'm going to get back to you on that.
Okay.
Because I mean, back then I did watch it. I was a big wrestling fan when I was younger.
And you said it drops today.
I believe so. That it drops either today or this week. I know it comes out this week.
Good. Then I know when not to watch it.
Come on, give it a chance.
I might give it a chance. I watched the wrestler movie, Iron Claw. I thought that was really good.
I'd never seen that yet.
Oh, you got to check it out. If you like wrestling, and it goes into the history of it, and it's based on a real family. Like, they were actual wrestlers and had their share of tragedy. It was kind of scary. This is interesting. Have you watched any of the Kevin Costner, Horizon Saga?
See, with how much bashing you did on it, I don't
Yeah, I guess I wasn't the best advocate for... But, you know, it's so funny because he ripped Yellowstone last spring. And I don't like... I'm not a fan of Yellowstone. I started off thinking it was okay, and I don't know when they lost me. I can't remember the episode where those two people were on a cliff. It was so preposterous. But he ripped on the producers. He said they don't know what they're doing, and he's kind of done with it. And that was because he was working on this show called Horizon, a show, movie, a four-part movie series.
And how long was the first one again?
The first one was over three. Oh. It was three and change, I believe. And the second one was just a hair under three. The first two installments were 6 hours. And it came out to very mediocre. It got like a 48% on Rotten Tomatoes. And then it didn't do well in theaters. So they yanked the second one and made it available to stream. I did start watching the first one. I think it's on Max. And I got about 20 minutes into it. I didn't hate it, but I'm like, this guy... The cojones on this guy to make 12 hours worth. It's basically two seasons of a series that he was trying to get in theaters. Well, anyway, they tanked or didn't meet expectations. So now he's like, yeah, I'm open to going back to Yellowstone. Like, of course you are. And, I don't know. I'm not a fan of Yellowstone. I did like the spinoffs, the prequels, 1883 and 1983. We've talked about that. I think they're really well done. Love the characters. But, yeah, that Yellowstone did not do it for me.
I forgot to mention something that was pretty cool from when I was off. Is this bar that I went to in West Bend, it's called, I believe, the Boardroom. We get in, and they're playing Gladiators on TV. Well, there's college football on. It was awesome.
Wait, the TV show or the movie?
The movie.
Oh, they had the movie Gladiator on instead of college football?
Yeah. It was so, there was a bunch of TVs. There was one TV in the distance playing the Nebraska game, and then just three TVs playing the Gladiator.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Maybe not the best movie to have while you're drinking, because there's a lot of visual stuff in there that's not great.
Well, you worried people are going to throw down because of the...
There was like a black foot or whatever. I'm like, ooh, I don't know if I want to drink this anymore now.
Wait, what happened?
There's a one part in it where you just see a foot and it's just all black and gross.
Like it was burnt or something?
Yeah.
Oh, God. You weren't here last night when I brought up state troopers escorting college football coaches.
Yes, okay. I actually remember you talking about that.
Yeah.
There is one big thing about college football is they do storm the field.
Yeah, but do you think they're going to like, pounce on the coach?
It can accidentally happen. Like last year.
Okay, but what are two fat state troopers gonna do?
Try to rush him off the field at least. If they expect like I forget Caitlin Clark actually got hit by a fan that was rushing when she was at Iowa. And she went down and almost it looked like she might have injured herself.
Okay.
So I think it's necessary.
Listen, I can admit when I'm, that's an oversight. I didn't think of that. I don't know what these two guys are going to do if there's 100,000 kids rushing. But, I guess they could.
Well, you can expect it sometimes. And when there's a big upset that could happen, those guys are going to be ready to get those people off the field.
Right. And the coach, like one texter pointed out, And I was aware of this too because of the Wisconsin situation. Are the most highest paid state employee?
Yes, yep,
that's
they are.
So
I mean,
crazy.
Well, I mean, now with the colleges never
the NIL.
Well, I mean, the colleges they pay the coaches a lot of money.
Yeah.
To bring them national championship.
I'd love a taste of some of that money. All right, this has been fun. Thank you so much to my guests. Thanks to Matt Miller and Deanna Donaldson. Check out Cranberry Fest. It's the 51st annual, folks. On the other side of the state in Warrens, that's plural. Warrens, Wisconsin. Check it out. Sounds like a great time. We'll be back tomorrow night with Charo and Jesse March and Rock Rubin. We'll do it all over again. On behalf of Conrad, this is Peach Schwab.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Peach Schwab.
On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by legendary performer Charo, Jesse March from the Festival Theater in St. Croix, and King of Queens writer, executive producer Rock Rubin joins to discuss the show's legacy.
Nightlight with Peach Schwab. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Make a difference in your community today. Find the perfect volunteering opportunity for you at volunteerwisconsin.org or by getting in touch with your local United Way or Volunteer Center. There are so many ways to get involved and make an impact. Paid for by United Way of Wisconsin.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Eau Claire, 93.5 The Tap, and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.